Good evening. It's good to see everyone this evening, and I trust that we've had a good day and had an opportunity to have some rest and now come back to worship the Lord again. I'm encouraged by being with my brethren this evening, and as we begin this week, we hope that we can worship God and renew our interest in serving Him to the best of our ability. And if you're visiting with us this evening, we're thankful for your presence. We hope that you'll come back as you have an opportunity. We've just finished a study in our adult class of Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. And I appreciate Larry directing that study. And there's some great lessons there. And when you look, for example, on God's side of that story, you find His providence everywhere. And it's amazing. And there are a lot of good lessons regarding that. When you look at man's side of that story and the Israelites who are coming back after the captivity, there are a number of good lessons there. And I'd like for us to focus in this evening on two words that come to my mind when I think about coming back from the Babylonian captivity. And those two words are get involved. Get involved. And I think about the Israelites coming back, and I think about what's going on in Ezra and Nehemiah and Esther, and really the theme that runs throughout all of that is an involvement on the part of these Israelites, these Jews, to do what God wants them to do. And so this evening, I thought, for our encouragement, in addition to those other good lessons that we have learned, I want us to think about the importance of being a member here at Memorial Boulevard and what that is and what that entails. It's not just simply filling a pew. It's not just simply finding our seat and sitting in it week after week. But it's being involved. It's being an active member. In the New Testament, Christians are described as an active member of the body. If we had a piece of our physical body that just stopped working, we know the trouble that's involved in that. And so there are figures that are used in the New Testament of activity. And we're to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And I hope that our lesson this evening will remind us of the importance of getting up and getting involved. It's easy to get lost in a crowd and let somebody else do the work. It's easy to let brother so-and-so do that. Well, I know sister so-and-so will do that. We just let somebody else do that. You know, the smaller we are, the more that we have to be conscious of activity and working and being involved. We don't have the luxury of just, you know, letting everybody else do that. When we're smaller, we all have to be busy doing that. That's true not only in the Lord's church, but that's true in athletics. It's true in the business world. It's true in a number of different areas that when you have a smaller group, everybody's got to be working as hard as they can. And so as Larry was taking us through this study this past quarter, I was impressed with how much is mentioned about involvement and activity and getting in there and rolling up our sleeves and getting to work, getting our hands dirty in the Lord's work. And so I want us to think about those things this evening. Not everybody gets involved, and the devil's certainly happy with that. And that's, I think, one of his major tools. One of the major weapons in his arsenal is just to get us to be lazy. I'm just not going to get involved. I'll let somebody else do that kind of thing. And it's been that way throughout time. Turn back with me to the book of Judges. You remember when Deborah and Barak went out to war against Sisera back in the book of Judges? And they go out to war against them during the time when God raises up judges. Well, after this battle is over, Deborah sings a song, and there's a number of good lessons in this song. But do you remember in Judges chapter 5 how that the group of Israelites known as Miraz, a particular area there in Palestine, look at verse 23. "Curse you, Miraz," said the angel of Jehovah. This is not Deborah's opinion, and she's a little upset, so she gives it. This is God's word. "Curse you, Miraz," said the angel of the Lord. "Curse you bitterly, you inhabitants there, because you came not to the help of Jehovah." You see, God doesn't want laziness. God doesn't want us sitting on the sidelines. These people wouldn't come and help in this battle. And the reason's not given, and they could have all their excuses, but they just didn't do it, and they're cursed for it. Turn with me to the little book of Obadiah. Interesting statement in the little book of Obadiah. Obadiah is a judgment against Edom. And there's a lot packed into this little book. But Edom is judged for a number of things. One thing that she's judged for is her pride. She was high up in the rocks, verse 3, and she had this proud and haughty look about her. But notice another thing that she's judged for down in verse 10. Look at Obadiah, verse 10. For the violence done to thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. Now look at the reason. In the day that you stood on the other side, in the day that strangers carried away his, Jacob's, substance, and foreigners enter into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even you were as one of them. Now, we're not given the details. And when you study the little book of Obadiah, the point is made that we don't know exactly which occasion this is, but there was a time in which some people came and attacked Jerusalem. They came in and they were carrying things away from Jerusalem. But look at what Edom is charged for. You stood by on the other side. Hey, look at Jerusalem over there. They're being sacked. People are hurting them. What are we going to do? Well, we're not going to do a thing about it. You see? It's tempting not to get involved. Just stand on the sidelines and let somebody else do it. That's the devil's tool, brethren. And if we can learn some things from this period of time, it's get involved. Our young people need to be involved. Our old people need to be involved. You know, I think about the story of the Good Samaritan, Luke chapter 10. What was the problem with the priest and the Levite? We all know that story. This man going down from Jerusalem falls into the hands of robbers and he's beaten and left half dead there on the side of the road. And the priest and the Levite comes by and the text says, and they walked by what? On the other side. Well, I'm not going to get involved in that. I don't have time for that. I'm busy, you see. Let somebody else do that. The priest and the Levite, they're Jews. They're supposed to be God's people. They're supposed to be faithful. And then this no good Samaritan comes by. The Jew didn't like the Samaritans, John chapter. This no good Samaritan comes by, and he's the one that gets down there and puts bandages on him and takes him into town and cares for him. But look at that statement, brethren. They walked by on the other side. You know what the other side is? The other side is the side of laziness. The other side is the side of I don't want to get involved. The other side is the side of making excuses. The other side is the devil's side. So there's all kinds of examples. And we need to understand that God wants us involved in the local church. And let's help each other to be that way. Is it due to our laziness? Got too much other going on. And, you know, I always know that brother or sister so-and-so will do it. And I'm just not going to do it. You know, that's just not my thing, you see. Well, again, we're going to talk later that there's things in the local church. We have the work of evangelism. We have the work of benevolence. We have the work of edification. Sometimes we'll have lessons or classes on the three works of the church. And those are great lessons. But are we getting our hands dirty in that work, you see? Are we just lazy? Now, we're not going to be lazy when it comes to a hobby, and we're not going to be lazy when it comes to this or to that, but in the local church, I just don't have time. Maybe it's a fear of criticism or rebuke. Do you know that some things in the local church that involve our involvement possibly set us up for criticism? Well, you went to visit someone, and now I'm going to criticize you for that. Or you got involved in this or got involved in that. And I don't want to hear about it. You know, I don't want to hear the criticism or the rebuke. Maybe it involves something of a negative nature with regard to sin or helping someone get out of that or that type of thing. Well, if it's the right thing to do, we don't need to fear what someone might say or do. It could be that we're just lukewarm. We've got just enough church in us to maybe want to do a few things, but just enough world in us to make us lukewarm. We're really neither hot nor cold. You know, we're kind of like the members at Laodicea, just sort of a mediocre Christian. And we know where our pew is, and we know where, you know, when to come and where to sit and that type of thing. We're just kind of go through the motions. Is that it? Maybe we've got so much going on with work. I'm too busy at work, and I'm too busy making my money. And I'm too busy with my hobbies, you see. And I've got this to do and that to do. And I'm more interested in food and hobbies and games and this kind of thing and that kind of thing. That I just don't have time, Brother Reeves, to get involved, you see. And my kids, you know, they're into this and they're into that. And we all need an outlet. We all need a hobby. But we have to keep all that in perspective. The Lord's work comes first. We need some time where we can rest. We need some time where we can have an outlet to enjoy life. Ecclesiastes 9, there's an encouragement there to enjoy the things of life. And so we can pick some time doing that. But we've got to keep that in perspective. Maybe it's whenever something comes up, we're just sort of prone to making excuses. The first thing out of our mouth is not, I can, but I can't, and then here's my excuse for it. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 24. We need to keep in mind that God is up in heaven, and He hears all of those excuses, and He's going to hold us accountable for that. There are some things that we cannot do because maybe of a physical health situation. We might have something physically that keeps us from doing something. We might not have a particular talent to do something, but we need to be doing what we can with the talents we have and the physical abilities that we have. Also, with the authorized roles that we have. We may not have authority to stand up and publicly speak, but then I'm going to get involved in some other area that I can. All of these things come into play, but we need to be doing something. Look at Proverbs chapter 24. This is talking about someone who is physically being, they're going to die physically, and someone steps in. It reminds me of Esther. Her people were going to physically be killed. Deliver them that are carried away unto death. Now, we need to follow the law of the land, and we're not going to break a law trying to save someone. But I think about pro-life people. Pro-life people are people who try to step in and save those who are being carried away. The 1.4 million every year abortions in our country, 1.4, somebody needs to step in and deliver them that are carried away into death. So we talk about pro-life. Well, we don't need to break laws and other things in order to do that, but we need to step in. But look at this. Deliver them that are carried away unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, see that you hold not back. If you say, behold, we knew not this, doth not he, that's God, that weigheth the hearts consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth he not know it? And shall not render to every man according to his works? If we say, well, I didn't know I was supposed to do something, and we really did, God knows that. And He sees that. And He's going to judge us. So let's not make the excuses. Let's just get in there and do what we need to do. This evening, then, I want us to look at the importance of getting up and getting involved. And I want to use the books of Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther in order to do that. And I want to look at three areas this evening. Get involved in the service of the Lord. Number two, get involved when sin is going on among the people. And then number three, get involved in the salvation of the lost. Get involved in the service of the Lord. Get involved when sin is going on and it needs to be eradicated. And get involved in the salvation of the lost. Let's look at it. First of all, get involved in the service of the Lord. The Lord's work involves evangelism, edification, and benevolence. Let's all get involved in that. And if we're not, let's make the changes that we need to make. I think about these concerned individual Israelites who come back and they want to get involved in rebuilding the temple. In Ezra and in Nehemiah, they're coming back and they're getting involved in rebuilding the walls, you see. Turn with me to Ezra chapter 2 and verse 26. Again, for those of us who were in the class, this is a review. Others were not able to be in that class, and so these are some great reminders. But in Ezra chapter 2, what kind of people got involved in the Lord's work of rebuilding the temple? Chapter 2 and verse 26. That should be verse 66 and following. We find verse 68. They who offered willingly for the house of God. That should be Ezra 2 verse 68. They offered willingly. These are sacrificial people. Look at chapter 6 and verse 14. When Haggai and Zechariah stirred them up, that they builded and finished according to the commandment of God. They got involved. And when the people come back in Nehemiah's day and to rebuild the walls, chapter 4, verse 6, they had a mind to work. Let's get involved. And we remember going through the story there with Larry, how that even when they were on the wall, they had a trowel in one hand and they had a sword in the other hand when the enemies were, and we're just going to keep working, we're going to stay busy. Get involved, brother. Yes, we have things going on in our personal lives throughout the week that busy us, and we understand that. But are we volunteering for as much as we can in the local church to make sure that we're doing what we need to do? One of the problems, if we're not careful, is we just get wrapped up in our own lives. Turn with me to Haggai chapter 1 and verse 8. We're given some insight into what's going on here. You remember the three books of history are Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. Those are the three books that give us the history of this period. But the three prophets that give us some preaching, if you will, during this period would be Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. So there's three books of history, and then there's three prophets that go along with this period of history. And when you turn over to Haggai, you're given some insight into what is going on here with regard to rebuilding the temple. You remember that they had started that, and then they had stopped it for a little bit. And we're told in Haggai 1 why. They got busy doing their own things. You know, we'll get involved. We'll get involved in what we really want to get involved with. We'll do what we want to do. But often what we want to do may not be the Lord's work. But we'll be busy doing something. And what was happening here is they were busy. Oh, they were busy. It just wasn't in the Lord's work. Look at Haggai chapter 1 and verse 7. Thus says the Lord, consider your ways. And tonight's lesson is about considering. We need to sit down and go home and consider really, really our life. Do we really need to get more involved? Look at verse 8. Go up to the mountain and bring the wood. Get involved. Get out there. Get the wood cut. Get it into town. Get this temple rebuilt. Go up to the mountain. Bring the wood. Build the house. And I will take pleasure in it, and I will glorify, says the Lord. What is Haggai doing? He's saying the same thing. Get up and get involved. What had happened? Look at verse 3. Then the word came to Haggai the prophet, is it time for you to dwell in your sealed houses while this house lieth waste? They were all taking care of their own house. Oh, I got to fix this, and I got to work on this. And over there in town, there's this thing called the temple. And the foundation had been laid, but nobody was working on it. But they're all at home working on their things. They're getting their own things taken care of. You see? And so get up and get involved. And you know what? They heeded that. And so in Ezra chapter 6 and verse 14, they finished because of the preaching of these prophets, and they listened to God's word. When it came to the walls, they had a mind to work, and they finished it, you see. So the point is simply this. That concerned people got involved, not only with the temple and with the walls, but when it came time for teaching and preaching, Ezra came back. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, he had prepared his heart to teach in Israel the statutes. In Nehemiah chapter 8, they all gather together at the water gate, and they build Ezra a pulpit of wood, and they say, would you please preach the law unto us? And they hear God's word from morning till noon. So now we have the rebuilding of the people spiritually. But people got involved, you see. And then they went out and they began to put into practice what they had learned. What are we seeing here, brother? Get involved in the service of the Lord. And it's a constant reminder for all of us. The Memorial Boulevard Church of Christ is a local group of Christians. We're here to worship God, and worship is a main activity. But work, the two W's, worship and work. Work. And it's a constant reminder in all of the Lord's people, all over the world, that we must stay busy, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And maybe we need a fire put under us with regard to that from time to time. I do. And I want you to encourage me. We all have to stay busy. Sometimes the service of the Lord gets the bad end of the deal. You know, he gets the leftovers, and he gets, if we get around to it, you know, he gets that part of our week, if we get around to it. Or he gets this little part of that little part. We need to be asking ourselves, what have I done this week in evangelism? What have I done this week in edifying those who are already saved? What have I done this week if there is benevolence toward needy saints? So we come to the New Testament, and we have such passages as being fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Paul says in Romans 12, verse 11, not slothful. What is a sloth? That animal that just hangs around. And if he does move, you go to the zoo and he's moving, it's just real slow. Not slothful, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So we're going to have some energy with us, and we're going to be busy doing the Lord's work. Always, as Mason read this evening, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always. And the word abounding there means adding to. It means literally to excel, to more and more. Don't just be satisfied with a current level. So I'm going through my Christian life and I get to a level and I just peak there, and then the rest of my life is just sort of... No, it's always, always abounding. It means to add more and more. Each year I'm going to add another thing that I do with the local church, you see. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. As you're turning over to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, I want you to think about the types of things that we have that are important for us in the local work here. We have different kinds of sign-up sheets back there, all kinds of things that need to be done. Have you ever noticed on some of those sign-up sheets, look at them sometime, have you ever noticed that sometimes there'll be a name up there that's up there 2-3 times? You ever notice that? There's only 12 slots in a year, and you'll see someone that has 2-3 names up there. You ever notice that? Do we want that burden to fall on one person or a few people? Well, we always know that Brother so-and-so will take care of that, or Sister so-and-so will take care of that. Paul says, that which every joint supplies. Not every member can do everything that's back there on the board. We may not physically be able to do such and such, but I need to be doing as much as I can. And I just need to make sure that I do that, so that burden doesn't fall on just a few handful of brethren. Number one, it's not fair to them. But number two, and you'll see this over and over again, I've seen it in other congregations, they get burnt out because they're carrying the yeoman's work, as it were. They're bearing the yeoman's load. That's an old expression that means the guy that's doing all the rowing. They've done the yeoman's portion of the work. They're doing all the rowing and they get worn out. Whether it's the teaching program or whether it's doing something around the building or whatever. And so if we don't want to burn our brethren out, we're going to do what we can and what we can supply, every one of us. And it may not be something that somebody else can do, but sign me up for what I can do. And so verse 16, from whom all the body, fitly framed and knit together through that which every joint supplieth. But then look at it, according to the working in due measure of each individual part, maketh the increase of the body unto the building up of itself in love. I need to be supplying that which I can supply. Look at Philippians chapter 2. There are people in the New Testament that engaged in the Lord's work to the point that they were hazarding their life. Would you do that today? Would I do that today? If there were some area of work in evangelism, edification, or benevolence, would I do it in such a way, even if it meant life-threatening? Or would I say, well, you know, I don't know what that might be. It may come a day where it may be life-threatening to do something in the Lord's work, but would I do that? We find in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 30 with regard to Epaphroditus, "For the work of Christ, he came nigh unto death," but look at verse 30, "it's for the work of Christ." Now, the reference here is for Epaphroditus. If you look at chapter 4 in verse 18, he's bringing funds to Paul so that Paul can be supported by the church at Philippi. Number one, it's called the work of Christ. Number two, he hazarded his life to supply that which was lacking in your service. Something happened with regard to bringing that fund that put his life in jeopardy, and he was willing to undergo that. He stepped forward. He didn't say, somebody says, "Well, we need to get some funds to Paul." Somebody at Philippi says, "We need to get some funds to Paul." Epaphroditus says, "Well, no, that's not me. I'm busy this week. Real busy this week. I'm not going to sign up for that. Some brother so-and-so, he always signs up for that. He'll do that." No, Epaphroditus said, "I want to do that," you see. And then 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. That being ready to distribute. Paul is talking about wealthy Christians, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. That's not talking about speaking. It's the old English word sharing. Ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Paul talks about zealous of good works, Titus 2:14. "If we have the world's goods and see our brother need and we shut up our compassion, how doth the love of God abide in him?" 1 John 3:17, you see. I've got to be busy in the service of the Lord. And finally, contending earnestly for the faith. Some of it may be that I stand for truth. It may be that I stand up and do some preaching. It may be that I stand up and defend the truth at work. It may be that I just simply support the hands like Aaron and Hur, who lifted up the hands of Moses. It may be just that, Exodus 17, that here's somebody who's actually preaching and contending for them, and I'm going to be in the behind the scenes supporting them. But I'm going to get involved. Number two, when we talk about Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther, I think about getting involved with the sin of the lawless. And what I mean by that, of course, is not that I actually engage in the sin. But when sin is going on among God's people that I know about, I'm going to get involved. And here's where it steps up to be a little bit more challenging, because, you know, we're not likely to get criticized after we cut the churchyard. We're not likely to get criticized after we sweep the floor. We need to be doing some things, but you know what? You go visit somebody who's wayward, you're likely to get criticized for that. So sometimes there are some things that are hard to do. And it involves sin. And so we may not want to get involved because, you know, I just don't have the fortitude for that, the intestinal fortitude for that. I'll let brother or sister so-and-so do that. What am I talking about? Well, turn, as you remember in our study, remember Ezra chapter 9 and 10, and Ezra comes back and he's got, the Israelites working on the temple, and the temple's been complete, and they're working hard on physical types of things. But some Jews bring to the attention of Ezra that there is sin in the camp and that there are folks there who have intermarried and they've got marriages that they're not lawfully authorized to have. And so in Ezra chapter 9 and verse 1, the people of Israel bring this, the princes bring this to Ezra's attention. And what does he do about it? Well, I'm not going to get involved. You know, that's their life. And, you know, I don't like it. I don't like it. But that's none of my business. And we all know that marriage is such a personal home kind of thing that I don't want to be a home wrecker and known for that kind of thing. And do you know what? There's children involved and what would happen to them and that kind of thing. Well, the first thing that Ezra does is he mourns and weeps. Verse 3, and he's tearing his garment. This is terrible. Deuteronomy 7 has been broken. And other Bible passages, other books of the Law of Moses that mention this thing about not intermarrying. God's Word, this is terrible, you see. He's beginning to get involved. And then as the story unfolds, you remember, we find that By the time we get over to chapter 10 and verse 9, a meeting is held where steps are going to be taken to break up these sinful and unlawful marriages. And we know from chapter 10, verse 44, that some of them had children by these marriages. And oh yes, it would have been difficult and hard to deal with the practical things involved in breaking up an unlawful marriage. But sin is sin. And when it's in the camp, will we get involved? And especially in a situation in many, many local congregations that don't have elders. And a lot of times, godly elders will take care of those kinds of things. But Memorial Boulevard, we don't have that. Many, many congregations don't have that. And so we have to, if you will, police ourselves. We have to take the initiative to, is this going on? And then how can we talk about it in a good, kind, and loving way in dealing with this? And if the person doesn't want to repent of this, what steps do we need to take? But are we going to get involved or just let that thing roll on and rock along? We find it in the book of Nehemiah. Turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. And it's difficult. But brethren, we need to be proactive. And here's where, when you see Ezra and you see Nehemiah, nobody's pushing and prodding them to take care of this. Well, Ezra, get out there and do something, man. They take the initiative. When it's brought to their attention, they get after it. And when it's brought, when Nehemiah sees something in the book of Nehemiah in chapter 13, when I saw such and such, well, what kind of a person does it take to see that? Did Nehemiah have some special superhuman powers that he saw people working on the Sabbath day? Other people saw them working on the Sabbath day. He didn't have some special superhuman powers. He just simply had a love for God and His Word, and he got in there and got involved. But the text says, when I saw some people working on the Sabbath day, and when I saw some people that had mixed marriages, he didn't have anything different than what we have, brethren. And that is a love for God and God's Word, and get in there and take care of what needs to be taken care of. Look at Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 6. There were some Jews charging usury, interest on their fellow brethren, and they were not supposed to be doing that. The law forbade that. Look at verse 6, Ezra 5, 6. And I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. Then I consulted with myself and contended with the nobles and the rulers and said unto them, you exact usury or interest every one of his brother. And I held a great assembly against them. Look at that verse 6 and 7. I consulted with myself. That's what tonight's lesson is about. Let us consult with ourselves and say, you know, there's times when I need to get involved and I'm not getting involved. And I need to get out there and do it. He took care of that thing. And when he talked with the ones who were doing it, they said, we won't do that anymore. Turn with me to chapter 13. I've already alluded to some of the things in chapter 13. In chapter 13, one thing is bad enough. It's just boom, boom, boom. God's people come back and they've got some great things going on, but some of them slumped into sin. And so we've got mixed multitude. They're not bringing the tithes to support the Levites. Sabbath breakers and more of this mixed marriage is going on. And what do we find? We find Nehemiah getting up and getting involved. And others. Look at chapter 13, verse 3. And it came to pass when they heard the law that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. Look at verse 6. Chapter 13, verse 6. In all this time I was not in Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, I went unto the king. He went back to Persia for a little bit. And after certain days, I asked leave of the king, and I came to Jerusalem and understood the evil that Eliashib had done to Tobiah. I understood that. Did Nehemiah have some special supernatural understanding when he got back into town? No. He heard the report and he acted on it. Brethren, we can all, when there is sin in the camp, we don't have to have some special superhuman power. We all know what it is. We all know who's doing it, if you will. Talk to them. Encourage them to get out of that. Encourage them to change. When I understood, is that some special thing? No. He had a love for God, God's Word, and getting it cleared up. So when I understood the evil that Eliashib had done in preparing him a chamber, it grieved me sore. Maybe this is one of our problems. We don't get involved in the sin because we're not really grieved sore over the sin. It doesn't really matter whether that person comes or not, or whether they come back. We need to love every lost soul and be grieved sore. Look at verse 8. Therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. Look at verse 10. I perceived that the portion of the Levites had not been given to them. Was that some special perception? No. He saw what anybody can see, that the tithes are not being brought. Now, he might have had some knowledge because he's in and around the temple. We might give him that. But on the whole, he sees what anybody can see. But he takes action. Look at verse 15. In those days, I saw in Judah some men treading out the winepress on the Sabbath. He's the only one that saw that? Nobody else saw that? No, he saw that. Just like anybody can see that. But he did something about it. That's what set Nehemiah apart. Look at verse 19. And it came to pass, when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the doors should be shut. Verse 23. In those days I saw. I love that statement over and over again in chapter 13. I saw this. I heard this. I understood this. I perceived this to be going on. A man of action. And it's our encouragement this evening. And so, when sin is being engaged in, we need to get involved. Let's look at, you know what Nehemiah was doing? He was doing what the old law said. He was just doing what the old law said. If you turn back to Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 17, it says, rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin. Don't allow him to keep going on in that. Approach him. He was just doing what the law says. And when we do these types of things, we're just doing what God's Word says. If you warn the wicked of his way, that's all he's doing. But you know what Ezekiel chapter 3 also says, if you read all of 17 through 21? If you know that it's going on and you don't warn him of his way, his blood is on your hands and mine at the judgment day. That's a serious thing. Look at Matthew 18, verse 15. If thy brother sin, let Larry go and talk to him, because Larry's good with that. I'm not going to do that. Ooh, I'm not going to touch that one. Larry, would you go do that? Would you go do that for me, Larry? I don't want to do that. If your brother sin, you go show him his fault between you and him alone. If he doesn't hear, take two or three more. Well, so somebody calls me, Chris, would you go with me? I've tried to see this brother. No, don't involve me in that thing. I can see how that's going to blow up the wrong way. I don't want to get in on that one. No, take two or three more. And if he hear not them, then take it to the church. You see, we're to get involved. You know who stood up to an ungodly, adulterous marriage? Do you know who had the spiritual fortitude to walk right in and in the face of King Herod say, it is not lawful for you to have her? You know who had the fortitude for that? Yeah, John the Baptist. And Luke tells us that Herod, being reproved by him, it's hard. Listen, have you ever done that before? I don't know about you, but I've done things like that before, and inside, you can't see it, but inside, I'm shaking to death when I do it. It's hard. Yeah. But it's got to be done. If thy brother sin, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. You see, we've got to get involved. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there was this man who had his father's wife, and Paul says, you're puffed up. You should rather mourn, but you're puffed up. Apparently, some of the members of the local church were fine with all of that. Yeah, come on in. You've got your father's wife. Paul said, you should deliver such a one to Satan. You being gathered together should deliver such a one to Satan. You're puffed up. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Ephesians 5:11. Withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. Look over at Revelation chapter 2 and verse 20. One of the problems that Jesus through John had with this local church is you suffer, some of the newer versions said, you allow or you tolerate the woman Jezebel. You don't stand up to her and say no to her, you tolerate her. And isn't that what our society is all about, just tolerating everything? We need to get involved and confront it. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours, I think of that beautiful story of Esther and how that she got involved. Mordecai and Esther got involved in saving their people from utter destruction. What a beautiful story. Think about all those Jews that would have been killed because of Haman's dirty plan to kill them. What a terrible loss of life that would be. But when Mordecai hears about it, he takes it to Esther. And when Esther hears about it, she begins to slowly get involved and approach the king. We've just recently had the story. But she could have said, wait a minute now. I'm not going to do that. I'm putting my life on the line. I've got to go to the king when I don't have permission to do that. And why would I want to do that? Why would I want to, you know, hurt my life out here? Yes, it's my people, but I've got to consider my life. No, if I perish, I perish. And the ball begins to roll in involvement after involvement. And she sets up this meeting with the king and exposes the wicked Haman. And we know the end of the story, how that her people are allowed to defend themselves. Why? Because she got involved in saving the people from being lost. Mordecai got involved behind the scenes. You know, we're going to talk about personal evangelism in just a moment. We all have different talents, but one thing you can do is you can get involved behind the scenes. You can go with someone and help them. You can do things. If you don't feel comfortable actually doing the presentation, I'll do that. Let me know. We'll work together. But support someone behind the scenes, you see. We're doing what we can. I think of Mordecai as getting involved behind the scenes. Go to Esther and tell her this, and let's talk with her about that, and let's encourage her to do this, you see. And then Esther, of course, is on the forefront. She's out on the front lines, you see. Mordecai's behind, if you will, in the support group. And Ken will tell you this. Ken will tell you this, that when you're out in battle, you got the people on the front lines, Ken, right? And then what do you have behind them? All of the support group. All the people who are supporting the people on the front lines. Both are needed. When we talk about the salvation of the lost, we're not talking so much about physical loss of life, although it may come time in this country where we're stepping in, helping people physically be saved. But right now I'm talking about, spiritually speaking, there are 6+ billion people on the earth. There's a lot of people lost in sin. And we need to get involved in taking the gospel to them. And instead of Haman's evil plan, there's the devil's evil plan. And he wants everybody lost and destroyed. And so let's step in. Go make disciples of all nations, starting right here in Springfield, Tennessee. Go tell them. I love Mark chapter 5, verse 9, when Jesus heals the Gadarene demoniac and says, go home and tell your friends the great things that God has done. We all have friends here, friends we work with, friends we go to school with, friends that are in the neighborhood. We have friends. Go tell them the great things that God has done. And say, can we study together? And when they say yes, go study with them. If you don't feel like you can actually go through that, call me and I'll come and do that with you. Let's work together. There are the lost that need saving. And like Esther, we need to say, if I perish, I perish. If I talk with them and they
slam the door in their face, so be it. If they say no to me, so be it. If they turn and don't like me anymore, so be it. We need to be like Esther. If that's the way it's going to be, that's the way it's going to be. But I'm going to save the lost. I love the Macedonian call in Acts chapter 16. Come over and help us. And we sing in our psalm books, I've heard the Macedonian call today. Well, there are a lot of lost people on the face of this earth that the help that they need is spiritual help. I'm ready to preach the gospel. We need to be like Paul. I'm a debtor to Jews and Greeks, and I am ready. I love that verse. Look at Romans 1, 14 and 15. As much as in me lies, as much as lieth within me, as much as I can do this, I'm going to get it out and I'm going to preach. Woe is unto me, 1 Corinthians 9:16, if I preach not the gospel. Oh, woe if I can't go out today and help somebody. Is that our attitude? It needs to be. Get involved. I love Galatians 6:1. If a brother be overtaken in a trespass, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. They're lost, and they need to be brought back to the fold. If your brother err from the truth, James 5:19 and 20, and one of you convert him, you see, you've saved a soul from death. I love Jude 23. How many millions, if not billions, are traveling the broad road that leads to destruction and hell fire? And Jude says, on some, snatching them out of the fire. Do you have a loved one that needs to be snatched out of the fire? Mike can tell you that when the firemen go in and there's souls inside, they don't play around with that thing. They don't stand around and lollygag and sit and, you know, shuffle their feet. They get in there and snatch them out of the fire. And we need to do that as well. Well, the lesson is yours. We know what we need to do. And I'm encouraged that we will do that here at Memorial Boulevard. Get up and get involved. Number one, in the service of the Lord. Number two, when sin is going on among the lawless, help them to get out of that. Do you know that when those mixed marriages were broken up and even children was involved, I wonder if some of those came up to Ezra later and said, thank you. Thank you for getting me out of that sin. I would have been lost otherwise. And get involved in the salvation of the lost. We have so many people that we can talk to, hand a tract to. We record our lessons. Give them a copy of one of the lessons. If you hear me preach something that would be good for someone that you know, just give them a DVD. Just give it to them. Invite them to a gospel meeting, whatever the case may be. Get up and get involved. I want to encourage you to do that. I want you to be my encouragement that we all stay busy doing what the Lord wants us to do. I appreciate Larry's studying this past quarter, and there's so many great lessons that we can learn. Let's learn to get busy, and we come back and we get busy in the Lord's work and we do what we need to do. There may be someone this evening that needs to respond to the gospel. We have been given by the grace of God another opportunity to come together one day. Just like in the parable of the ten virgins, one day the verse says, and they rose up and the door was shut. Listen, the door of opportunity is going to be shut. There won't be a baptistry anymore. There won't be an invitation song, you see. The door of opportunity will be shut. If you need to respond this evening, we would encourage you to do that. If you need to come back to the fold in some way, we would encourage you to do that. But as we leave this evening, all of us as members of this church, and we appreciate Davey and Anna wanting to place membership with us. I'm encouraged by that. Appreciate their example, what they stand for, where they come from. Let's work together. Let's get up. Let's get involved. We're already doing things. Let's continue to do that. If we can add more to it, let's do that so that we don't burden a few that often it falls on them. Let's do what we can to bear our load, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Let's get up and get involved, and great things will be accomplished in the Lord's work. You'll see the church grow in many different areas, and that's what we want, and the Lord will be pleased. If we can encourage you in any way, why won't you come as we stand and sing?